Hello, welcome to our new podcast from Mikrostrom.com, the German microcurrent platform for microcurrent therapy and microcurrent devices. Here we are again with a new version of our English podcast. I know that the last one is approximately 12 months, so let's say 1 year ago or more than 1 year. But here we are again with an English version of our podcast, and today I have an interview, a very interesting interview partner for everyone who is interested in microcurrent generally, and of course in microcurrent devices and microcurrent technology. I have with me here on Skype online Dr. Stücker. He is a physician from Germany and a developer in electronics, software and hardware as well. So yes, I would say hello, Dr. Stücker.
Hello, Mr. Walicek. So I have to introduce myself. I studied in Aachen physics, and later I changed to Boston and studied at the MIT for master studies. And so I had to decide if I want to work for nuclear industry or for military. So I decided I don't want to. And I was regretting myself because it was impossible to work for an industry which is, let me say, not really pacifistic. So I changed, was working for automotive industry and for consumer industries, and later I was starting to develop also for medical industry. The microcurrent systems were coming to me between 2005 and 2006, when I had the first contact with the idea of microcurrent, and when I was reading the first literature about it. Years later, a friend of mine had the next contact to microcurrent, and at this moment I started slowly to decide to begin to develop microcurrent devices. Why? Because the most devices at the market are, let me say it so, in their development, really low level. I have no idea why, but because there are really good engineers. We have one device at the market, for example, which is developed by a guy in Munich, which is really technical, nice, and in a high quality, also in a high quality development. But we have also, let me say, the rest of the devices in the market, where you can see that the development was not the best idea for the people which were doing it. And for me, there was the idea to develop a device which is in a really high level developed, because we are speaking about healthiness of customers, and we have to speak also at all the time about the security of customers. So I decided to start. A few years later, I began to develop my first own device, which was getting into the market. And now on, I'm in the cooperation with one of the big manufacturers of microcurrent devices in Germany. So when I take a look on the German market, and let me say on the European market, you have only a handful of companies which are selling microcurrent devices, and from this handful you have nearly no, let me say, one company which is selling medical microcurrent devices which are fitting to the conditions of, for example, the rules and laws for medical devices.
So, but as I remember right, that you are an physician and very well known in any kind of electronic developments and so on. But one of your specialties are you are studied also in the US, if I remember right, because we have also listeners from the US and UK as well. And I know that you studied at the MIT. That's right, yes?
Yes, but I studied nucleus. So you have to see, when you study nucleus, it's another world. It's like you're dreaming about summer, but it's in real, it's winter.
Sheldon Cooper would say this, right?
Yeah, for example. It is so that when you study nucleus, you're discussing about mathematics in a high level, of course, yes. But most you're discussing is about physics of the nucleus, and maybe you're speaking about splines and other effects. But electronics is a bit far away. It has to do with my biography that I came up to the electronics, because in Germany you have more than one form of schools, and when you're stuck in one of these school forms, there is no chance of studying directly after school. So I had to learn another job. In Germany it's totally different than, for example, in America or also in England. In Germany you're learning 3.5 years. After this you're doing an exam. It shows after your studies that you're able to work in this job. After this, you're doing another studies, if you want, and you're becoming Meister. It's, you can compare it, barely compare it, let me say it so, with a bachelor. But when you are Meister in Germany, you're allowed to get to the university and study. I learned from the beginning on electronics, so this was given to me as an add-on in my biography, and that's why I never lost the contact to this field. Normally, people which are studying nucleus have less contact to electronics, because there is no need for it. Electronics is something you don't need when you're discussing the theorem about, let me say, neutron speed in a molten salt reactor, for example. And so when I got out that I cannot work for the military and I cannot work for an unsecure industry, an unsecure nuclear industry, I had to change my view, what I want to do with my life. And in this change of view, there was also changing the planning for my life. So I decided for me that I will develop electronic devices, mechanical devices, mechatronical devices, so I can live, I can pay my bills, and I'm free with everything I'm doing. So.
So that's
when you're
a nice,
getting out of this position,
it's a nice way to live.
When you're getting out at this position to develop a microcurrent device, a few things are in your brain, because when you're looking on the most devices on the market, nobody is ready for the MDR. It's a new regulation of medical devices in the EU.
Oh, we will come back to this topic later also.
Yeah, and so this security thinking, for example, is one thing which I was learning when I was learning to be an electronic specialist. And all this knowledge was helping me to develop devices which are firstly secure and at the second side really able and powerful. So, in my view, there has to be done something in the market. There has to be a new device which is let me say, working well and fitting, for example, also to the ideas of Dr. Carolyn McMakin for a frequency-specific microcurrent, and of course also for example, the therapy forms which Luxamed in Germany is doing. It's a company which is also developing medical microcurrent devices.
So you would say that there have to be a change in the, let's say, philosophy or even in the strategy of developing and marketing microcurrent devices in Germany, or let's say Germany and also in Europe.
Yeah. You know, there is a big part of problems. First part is the patient security.
Sure. You have
many devices on the market. When you're looking to the rules, for example, the risk of an electrical shock, when you're looking on this, there is a big risk for many people which are connected to devices which are definitively unsecure. So there has to be a change on the market to get these patients surely secure.
But let's say that this, of course, the risk management of the companies and even the security of the devices. But would you say that to the new guideline, which is the MDR, let's say the medical device regulation, there will be a change in the patient security on MDR? Or would you say that the security of devices and even the efficiency of microcurrent devices is more, let's say, hardly connected to the understanding of development, engineering, and also the quality management system? How would you bring these three things together in the point of view of a microcurrent device?
Okay, when you look on the devices at the market and you look behind the scenes, you see manufacturers which are having somebody which is building up the device completely. They are carrying it for a technical laboratory and then they are selling it for a few years.
Yes.
Except the fact that they are not allowed to normally, they still do it, but there is no chance without a better control, without a deeper control, to get security in this market. Also the efficiency. If you want to build up microcurrent devices, one of the most important facts is that even the current and the voltage of the device and the pulse form and the exactness of the frequencies are really fitting together to a real good device. So vice versa, you can say if you have not the correct voltage, not the correct current regulation, and of course not, for example, the correct frequencies, you will have a device which is not working correctly.
Sure.
And in this moment, there is something happened in European Union. Some people say because of somebody which was selling bigger breasts to girls for much money with bad materials.
You mean the PIP scandal?
I don't want to say it out loud, but yes.
Yes,
I mean
it is, yes. But we can say it loud because everyone knows it.
And in this scandal was the beginning of a process in the EU. And it was the last nail which was needed, that the outformers of the regulations for security in medical devices in the EU were starting to change the behavior of the governments and starting to change the behavior of the regulatory affairs for microcurrent devices.
Yes, and so that's a good, excuse me, that's a good explanation, the last nail, because most of the people think that the MDR is started with a PIP scandal, and that's not wrong. It starts much before.
First impulses for this were coming out when they were looking to America. The first versions of the new FDA regulations for microcurrents and other medical devices were starting to set up a really high level of control of device manufacturers and of control of the effectivity of the devices.
But do you think that is a good sign of the European Union or the European Commission, let's say, for medical manufacturers in generally, or do you think that it is overregulated?
Let me say it so. When we are producing a microcurrent device in Europe, which is in a real high level secure and in a real high level efficient and in a real high level...
So risk class 3, let's say.
Then we have a medical device which is fitting in a really fast way, for example, the FDA regulations or the GOSR regulations in Russia. So, if we are looking on this, you will find out that especially the change of the deepness of the controls when you are looking to the MDR is not that the rules by itself were changing. You are looking on 6061, for example, there are not so many changes. And
There are actually no changes.
They have nothing to do with the MDR. Have to do with the further development of the rule of the 6061. But the deepness of the control,
yes, will be rise up,
which we are getting up now, is, let me say, 5 times.
Yes.
And in this moment, all the devices which are not really fitting the rules will fall out from the market.
Yeah.
So there is no chance to sell a device, or there should not be a chance to sell a device in the European market which is not fitting the rules. And this is for the device manufacturers which were, let me say, always doing best practices.
Yeah.
It is really hard because also they have to fit the new documentation rules and also they have to fulfill the new development rules. But for all the other manufacturers which were not doing best practices, it will be the end because they have no chance to set up a quality management system according to the rules of the MDR and according to all the other rules you have, because there is one mainly difference between the medical device regulation in Germany until now and from 2020 on. Starting with 2020, everything you're doing in case of a medical device is controlled. Today, you can set up a device. They're making a single control of a single device, and after this, let me say, nobody is really looking for it. But from starting in 2020, there is no chance to produce a device without a quality management system, which is certified from a notified body.
Yeah.
But, DEKRA or MITZET.
But let's be honest, that in my opinion, the MDR is the right signal from the European Union or the European Commission. Because in my opinion, if you are producing, developing medical devices, generally, it doesn't matter if it's a microcurrent device or an ultrasound device, shockwave device or any other devices. And we don't speak about high risk devices like a level 3 or risk class 3 devices. But in my opinion, it's the right signal because today, that's what I see in the market, is that most of the manufacturers are... You have the MDD, the Medical Device Directive. You have the harmonized standards. But there is no real control over the government and over the notified bodies, actually. I think that there will be the MDR is a good signal. It is hard to achieve the MDR compliance for sure, but in the end, I think that the companies who are really working actually worked on the MDR, because it comes in what, say, 1.5 or approximately 2 years, it's on. So my opinion is that we have to do risk management now. You have to have an quality management system. Let's say you have to have a production which is controlled over a quality management system. You have to have a clinical evaluation, which is now, since last year, according to the MEDEF guideline, revision 4. But this is, let's say, clinical evaluation will be the hardest target to achieve for any companies in the market. Doesn't matter if you're a small one or a big one. The risk management is, let's say, the same as before. There's no change in electricity security. You have a change in the post-market surveillance and in the post-market clinical follow-up. But in my opinion, the companies who will achieve and, let's say, in the end, survive, especially the microcurrent production development companies, where in Germany we have some kind of speech where we call out they comes out like mushrooms. Yes, so yeah, I don't know how, if it's correct in English, but it's I think the people will understand it. And but in my opinion, it is a quite good signal. The people have to make a clinical evaluation all the time, not only once, and not only on some studies and scientific papers who were published in the US or somewhere. It is helpful, but in the end, you have to make your own clinical evaluation. And the risk management, for sure, this is a last border to have a secured or an insecure device in the market. So I think that, okay, there are some other topics in the MDR which are, let's say, the equivalent devices. Okay, this is maybe a challenge for the companies to take an equivalent device and to make to rate the equivalence from the other device to your device. You have to have a qualified person in your company, and if you are using nanomaterials, so you will be in trouble for sure. But let's focus on the microcurrent productions and developments. So there is no real we have no nanomaterials normally. The qualified person you have to have. It's like in Germany, and it's only, if I'm right, in Germany, you need to have a security officers for medical devices, which have to be noticed to the government. But I think it's only in Germany. But the qualified person will be doing the almost the same job. The qualified person, of course, have to do any other activities like risk management, have to update the technical documentation, the stat file, and all this stuff. But in the end, I think that all companies who will survive the MDR in 2020 are qualified companies, and especially the microcurrent companies. I will call them microcurrent companies, are the right ones in the market. And not only the patients, also the users can be sure that these companies achieved a certain level of quality of production and development, which is, let's say, state of the art or state of the technical view, for example, that they can be sure these devices are correct, these devices are able to stay in the market for many other years, and of course, these devices are clinical evaluated, so they are efficient and they are effective. So the patients, in the end, take the price, which is the pain-free life. Are you agree?
See, you have one nice sentence. They spring up like mushrooms. This is also because there was no regulation for OEM and PLM manufacturing. So people were buying an OEM device, doing some changes on it, and were selling it with their own label. Nobody saw where it comes from. Nobody could even trace where it comes from.
Yes.
And from now on, even all these parts are changing. And this is, in my opinion, I believe after this, you may have, let me say, one, two companies from Germany which will stay alive.
I would say one, maybe two, but in the end, you're right that the small ones will die.
Of course. And the not serious working ones will be killed.
Charged in the first section, and then they will be caught in the second section, and in the last section they will be killed. Sure.
Yeah, exactly this, and so I guess it will make the market cleaner. It will not drive up the prices. That's not the point of it. The point is the market will be cleaned after this process.
Yes.
Because there is no chance to spring up like a mushroom. Yeah. There is only the chance to work in a serious way, to develop in a serious way. Even if, for example, if you're developing a device, not for medical purposes, you're developing it for, let me say, sports purposes. When you want to use it for medical purposes, you need to do the entire process, except the development. You have to validate and verify the functionality and the security of the device before you are allowed to get on the market with a medical device.
Sure.
Even then, and this was in the history, it was different. There were people which were developing devices. They had no, let me really say out loud, no idea about patient protection. There was no idea about. They had no idea what they were doing. They were writing that it is an equivalent device. And when you're looking on an oscilloscope,
there's no evidence.
You will see that the behavior of the device is totally different to all known devices which are, let me say it seriously, on the market.
And that this causes harm to any other manufacturers in the microcurrent area.
Of course, and this is the point. All of them will fail because they have not the ability to develop. Look on my really small company. Even my decision was I need to get together with another company in the German market because I have the knowledge it's not possible to do it alone. I'm not the lonesome cowboy which is developing microcurrent devices.
In the end, it's not only the
company, and you need really one guy support the regulatory affairs, because you cannot develop, produce, and hold the regulatory affairs in a clean way with one person.
No,
this is an effect when you're looking on the other small manufacturers. There you have a structure. And the structure is working in the following way. For example, near Dortmund, there is one guy which is selling microcurrent devices. He's normally not allowed to sell them as medical devices, but he can also not sell them as wellness devices because of the indications of the software which is shown on the device by itself. So he had a long time the improvement from TÜV Nord as one of his customers was dying. He lost this nice part, and so he was even not stopping to sell devices with a number of this TÜV Nord, because for him it was okay, because TÜV Nord saw this device before a couple of years and then I can sell. In the meantime, the rules were completely changed. They were really improving.
The harmonized even the harmonized standards changed even in the last years. Harmonized
standards, yes, of course. And because he was not reacting to these changes, he's also able at the moment to produce the devices much cheaper than any other person. Why? He can use cheaper parts. He has
no traceability, no risk management, no clinical evaluation. All these parts are so expensive.
All these parts he has not to fulfill because he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
And with start of 2020, this entire business model will be lost on the market.
Sure.
You will have only companies which are selling microcurrent devices, which are allowed to sell them, which have the tests for security, reliability, and efficiency of their devices, even for devices which were set up for sports or for wellness or for cosmetic purposes, have to be tested in the same way and have to follow, let me say, the same particular standards and the same harmonized standards. And so you have a clean market where all people which are inside of this market have defined rules which they have to follow to, and they have to be compliant to these rules, to these harmonized standards, and they have no chance to get out of these standards. And this is good. For me, the first view on the MDR, for me, it was, I said, it's catastrophic. I had an interview with one guy which was writing his master thesis about these skills. And so I told him, it's catastrophic. It's a demon which is killing the medical industry. But after a few months thinking about, I got out, it is not only a demon, it's not only this, it's also a really big chance. Because when we have one thing in Germany where we can say we are proud of, it is our quality which we are able to produce. And the second thing is the engineering which we can present.
Yes.
And exactly this will come up now when I take a look at the devices I'm developing now, and I'm taking a look on devices I was developing before 10 years. Then for me, for sure, I can say the quality today is much, much better. The software has much better user interfaces. You have real more powerful devices. You have more reliability of the devices. Everything which is fulfilled, because I know that the devices which I'm developing have to be compliant with the MDR standards. And exactly this, when you take this in the middle of the table, you can say it is not a demon, it is not something bad. The other way around, it's really good for the European market, not for the companies which are not staying through this process. Okay, for them it's really sad, they have to go, they have to search for another businesses, or they have even to close their business. But the business I'm doing is following to the standards, and so I was getting out. I have not even a problem to fulfill the standards, because in my construction, in my engineering ideas, everything is starting with the standards myself. This is so easy to develop a device when you have such small suit web of standards. You cannot really get out.
Yeah.
When you're developing, you have no chance to make really something big wrong. You have the knowledge after this development process, after the device construction is checked from the notified body, after you by self checked in the laboratory that your device is secure, everything is okay, you know by self there will not be any incident which is coming up because the device is not secure or something like this. And there is no chance for an incident because the device is not working, because you have scientific works which are telling you exactly if the device is working or not working before you are on the market.
Yes.
And so, now we are coming up to equivalent standards. This was something in history. You were even equivalent when you said it's microcurrent. Nobody was taking a look on it. And everybody was simply working it out. Today, you have to fulfill really the equivalent parts. So you have to show that the working price is equivalent, really equivalent to the device you want to sell now. And you have to build up your own standards. You and your own company have to build up high-level standards. Otherwise, you will not be able to be compliant.
So, excuse me for interrupting, but I think that this is a quite interesting discussion about regulatory pathways in the European Union according to the MDR. You're absolutely right. I agree with you that we have to have to build up our own standards. But our own standard is our own quality management according ISO 13485. In the last edition from 2016, this is my opinion about this, and I'm absolutely agree with you that the MDR is a quite, in the end, it is a quite good sign and a quite good way to produce and to bring medical devices in the market. But let us now leave the regulatory path. Let's go back to for just a few minutes, because we are bad in time, let's say, in this podcast. But I think this is quite interesting for anyone. The regulatory will cause some other podcasts, I will think that, and I don't know. I never found an equivalent podcast which was speaking about the MDR rules, but let's go back just for a few minutes to microcurrent, to microcurrent therapy, to microcurrent devices, because you just give one sentence about the frequency-specific microcurrent. I know personally Dr. Karen McMaken, and she's absolutely great in her work, in her philosophy, and in her researches she did with microcurrent in the past, and she will do in the future. And but give me your opinion about microcurrent generally. You know that microcurrent is, for me, the first hit. To treat in acute and chronic pain syndromes.
So,
from your point of view, because you're not a medical person, you're a physician, you're an engineer. But what is your point of view? Let's say, give me five sentences.
I try to do it in a small and short way, but it's normally a bit too complex to do it.
No, we can make some other. You can make some other.
The person.
Yeah.
Then you have current floating through the cells of this person. The cells by itself are really complex builded, but not only floating through the cells, you are floating also through the nerves. The nerves are, let me say, electrical connections between your brain and your organs. Even to the skin. And so you have more than one system you are interrogating with. When you're applying microcurrent, you have also more than one effect. One effect is the electrical effect. For example, the cell skin is changing its structure when it's floated from current. So the osmotical behavior of the cell is changing immediately. That's one of the big effects of microcurrent therapy. Because this change of the osmotical behavior is helping the cells to get acids out, for example. So everything is becoming a bit faster. You have thermodynamic effects. When you switch the light on, the light bulb is starting to glow. This effect you have also inside of the body. It's a thermodynamic effect, but less than in a light bulb, of course. When you're applying the microcurrent, you have also this warming up effect in cells. And this is hitting the cells with the highest resistance, because the low resistance cells have not so much power loss than the high resistance cells. It's normal, because if you have something what is 0 ohm, it would be the supercharge. Then even if you have 10,000 ampere, there will be not 1 degree warming up of this supercharge cable. And if you have a cable which has 1 ohm and you would have 10,000 amperes, then you would have even 10,000 watt on this cable, because that is electrical laws, it is a physical law. And even this law is guilty also inside of the body. So the thermodynamical effect is a really known effect for microcurrent. But there is a third effect. And now we are getting up to the bridge to a frequency-specific microcurrent. Following to Caroline McMakin, the microcurrent in specific frequencies is, let me say, speaking to the resonating cells, which are resonating directly to this frequency. Means, besides two effects I was speaking before, with the frequency-specific microcurrent therapy, you are setting up a therapy which is directly working to the cells you are targeting to. In the last, I guess, 30 years, around 30 years, Caroline McMakin was by herself starting to make scientifics about this form of microcurrent therapy. And she has really, really great results. So with these frequencies, you can send these informations, let me say it so, directly to an organ. This organ is responding and the therapy is working. So frequency-specific microcurrent is one of the great chances we have in this industry, because within the next 20, 30, 40 years, there will be a changing of this microcurrent world like it was in the computer world between 1970 and 2000. So when we are looking on this, in this wise, you can see there is a great chance for the microcurrent device industry to have the next step of healing in their hands.
Yeah.
We don't know enough about to speak out loud, but we believe in it, that it will have really, really big effectiveness. And we have to build out standards for this. We have to do scientifics to build up real standards so that we can approve these standards with clinical studies.
Yeah.
This will be the next step of microcurrent. And in my belief, there would be no chance outside of the MDR for a technology like this, because scientific needs always a
regulatory.
Really clear structure.
Yes.
And we haven't had this clear structure in the last 20 years, but now we have this, we are getting this structure. And with this structure, we are able to do the scientifics, to have much better devices, and to have a much better market field for the devices.
Yeah.
And of course, to help more people with it.
Yeah. Oh, that's absolutely great explanation about the view of frequency-specific microcurrent. I agree with you absolutely that this is an absolutely great chance for anyone, for practitioners, for physiotherapists, for medical doctors, for neuropaths and all this. This is a great, great, great chance to get, in my opinion, another access to the problem of the people. And actually, we are so, in the time we are so delayed with our podcast, but this screams after a second or maybe a third session of podcasting, of course in English as well, and we will do some other podcasts in German also, because for me, I would give you a great thank you, because you're a great speaking partner when we speak about microcurrents. You have a great, let's say, access from the thinking part of microcurrents. You have a great access from the, of course, development side, because you are a developer, and this is very, very rawful, that you are as a developer also accept the regulatory parts, the regulatory compliance, because this will be changed, in my opinion, and this will be the last sentence to the NDR. I'm sorry for our listeners to speak so much about the regulatory affairs. The MDR and new devices are only possible when developers, engineers, technicians, all that stuff work together with the regulatory and the quality persons. Because in the end, both have to do the same job. They have to bring new devices in the market. They have to be safe. They have to be efficient. And they have to be compliant. This is my really deep opinion about this. So
let me say one word to this. They have to be also reliable.
Yeah,
and this comes up only with doing scientifics to make this market bigger.
Yes,
to have a broad support of this technology at the doctors, at the medical staffs, so that you're filling the market in a new deepness. Because until now, you have there is a doctor, and the next 70 kilometers there's another one. You have not enough devices in the market.
Yeah, but let's say, I think that for our listeners all over the world, especially Germany and Europe, Italy for sure, we have a lot of listeners from Italy as well, because there's a great community of microcurrent in Italy. So let's even say hello to our Italian listeners. I would say that in the next episode we will record, we will speak about a new opportunity in 2019, at the early beginning of 2019, for a new device, for a new microcurrent device, which is able to fulfill any requirements of the regulatory parts, the quality parts, the safety parts, and the efficiency parts for working in a cybernetic mode, an automatic cybernetic mode of microcurrent, working in the and working in a frequency specific mode. So this will be very, very interesting. But today I think we are almost finished, and so I will say thank you, Dr. Stuecker, that to speak with me about all these the frame of regulatory, the frame of development of microcurrent devices, and even to give a short introduction in the biophysical reaction of cells and all this stuff. So I would say a great thank you to you. It was very nice to have you here in the podcast, in the interview or speech, how you can name it. And to our listeners, I would say thank you for listening. Even it was a very heavy stuff of regulatory parts in this episode, but I think in the next episode we will speak more practically how specific microcurrent in 2019 can change your work, your life, and the life of your patients for sure. And so thank you for listening. Thank you, Dr. Stuecker. And please, if you listen to us in the Apple iTunes store, please vote our podcast. It will be absolutely great. And if you listen in any other distributors of a podcast, even vote up there. If you have some questions, just go on www.micro.com. Mikrostrom. This is a German word. It is called mikrostrom.de. Write us an email or go on Facebook and write the German word of microcurrent, as I spelled it before. So if you have questions, if you have ideas for another episode or something else, but please vote us on Apple iTunes. This would be absolutely nice. And I say thank you for listening our podcast. Thank you, Dr. Stücker. And so goodbye.